Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Stars Cass, or also known as Natalie, and I have with me tonight Stars Maya Moon. We're going to be talking about working with the angel, archangels. And, you know, I was just saying to her, I have lots of questions because I'm familiar with them, but I'm really not. If most people probably are. They know the big ones like Michael and Raphael and Gabriel and those top ones, but there's a lot of archangels and angels. So we're going to be talking about that tonight, and I think she's going to go over how maybe you can reach your archangels. We'll certainly ask her. And we have Stars Priestess Candy in the chat room tonight, and we also have Stars Faye Madeline in. Welcome, you both, and I'm happy to see you. And so with that, I'm going to turn this over to you, Maya Moon.
Okay, thanks, Miss Natalie, and welcome, everyone. As always, we're very glad to have you. If you've been an avid listener, we know you're going to enjoy this show. And if this is your first time, I know that you'll get a lot of information, a very interesting subject. And so just sit back and relax. Although we don't do readings, the chat room is open, as Natalie said, for mini readings or one questions answered. We don't do readings on air, but if you have a comment about the topic, which is archangels, archangels, you can call 347-838-9736, and then you want to hit 1, and that'll connect you to the host, which is Natalie, and you can just let her know, well, I just had a comment, or I had a general, you know, a general question as opposed to a personal life question. So what I have to say about the archangels is that many people associate it with being ultra-religious. And although there's religious beliefs about the all angels, all of them, they're also very spiritual. You don't have to follow a specific religion or be religious to believe in the divine or angels. And what I believe is that there are four, there were created four main archangels, and they have specific things that they are sent to do, or that I might use the term God, but that's an interchangeable. It doesn't necessarily mean a specific person or entity. It would be the same as if you said divine or creator. And it's interesting because almost every, if you want to call it religion or following, almost all spiritual protocols recognize that there is a higher realm, if you will. So rather than just we pass, we cross over, we die, our body is just a vessel, and we go into a spiritual place, whatever that place may be, even though all of us are spirits at some point, there still is recognition on almost every book in all history of there being an order, if you will. So it's like channeled down. So you have whatever you consider to be the highest, the creator, which for some of us, we believe that that's within ourselves. That's just a part of us that is collectively connected to others. And what with my guides and what I've always believed is a couple things generally that I'm going to start out by saying. And one is that although there's specific purposes, especially there's, let me start by saying there's four widely recognized archangels that most people, and not all, and that doesn't mean because it's my belief that it's right and it's the only belief, but obviously that's what I'm going to share is my belief. There's four, and that's Michael, Gabriel, or Gabriel. There's a lot of different ways of saying it, and they do have alternate names depending on the language that you're using, Uriel and Raphael. And those are the four main ones, and the ones that I feel have the most, the highest divinity, if you will. So energetically, they have the highest energy and the most power, if you will. And each of them have kind of a specific duty that they are entrusted with. One thing that I do believe is that they, although they can heal, protect, guide, and work with us, they cannot interfere with our karma or with our personal lessons, our path. They can show us perhaps a different way. They can, you know, if we're praying or we're meditating or we're seeking guidance from one of the higher angels or one of the higher angelic realms, they can guide us or they can help to show us what might be potentially our highest path or choice. They can generally not interfere. They can't change something. So let's say if we're making a choice that is not our highest choice, they're not going to prevent us by changing the world so that, let's say we're taking a job that's going to be a negative job, it's the wrong choice, and if we don't seek their guidance before we make that decision and we go forward with that decision, they're not going to mix everything up and exert their power. So they don't have that kind of power. Now, the way that I do see it is, again, it's like a chain of command is how I would see it, just like there is in the military and there is in company and organizations. There is somewhat a chain of command. And those four, I feel, they seem to have more authority, if you will. So they can come and go. And one question that a lot of people will ask me, and I'll just go ahead and answer just because it came to mind. And they said, well, how can one spirit or entity be at more than one place at once? So let's say there's 10 people praying or meditating. And when I say praying, I'm not using that in a specific religious form. I'm just using it meaning manifesting or using our intentions directly to connect with that particular spirit. So I just wanted to define that I'm not, when I use the word praying, that I'm not denoting or trying to, you know, don't picture a chapel or a Christian or Catholic church or something. That's not what I mean. I mean an intention. So I'll try to use my words a little bit more carefully. So let's say there's
five
of us.
Oh, and Maya, James is here. Not to interrupt you, but James is on. So you can include him in your conversation. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, so let me just, okay, thanks. Thanks, Natalie. Let me just finish up my thought, and then we'll go over to James. So even if there's 10 people, for example, that are working with or seeking guidance, for example, from Michael, he is able, because of his spiritual greatness, if you will, or that higher energy, his vibration is like the ripple effect. So he can actually, in that sense, be in more than one place at once. It's not like he has to hop around like some of us believe when we were young at Santa Claus, you know, how does he deliver? He's got one sled and however many reindeer, I don't even remember nine, and he comes through the chimney and he never runs out of gifts. I mean, it's kind of funny as an adult when you think about it, if you were raised to even believe in that. So they are capable of being able to meet the needs of as many people as are desirous of those needs. So with that, welcome, James. We're glad to have you. And so I was just kind of running down on Michael, Gabrielle, Uriel, and Raphael, and just kind of talking about what it meant to me. So you can go ahead and do your intro or whatever it is you'd like to share about your feelings on the angels or the archangels.
Absolutely. And I was listening in, and I apologize. I was a few minutes late. I had trouble getting in, and then the first number I dialed, I didn't dial you. I dialed somebody else. So I apologize for being a few minutes late. Absolutely. One of the things that you were mentioning is what I call omnipresent. The archangels, who are kind of like the front runners of the angelic or spiritual world. When I consider the archangels, to me they are an extension of the hand of God or an extension of the hand of spirit. And they, if you look, they all end with the term L. So we have Michael, Gabriel, EL, which, you know, in etymologically represents Elohim, or, you know, it's kind of a spiritual term for the source or for God. So that's kind of when I'm working with archangels, really to me they represent an archetypal understanding for certain facets or certain natural qualities of our source from which we came. So we have, you know, Michael, who's kind of like a protector. And, you know, in a lot of literature, Michael is kind of like the warrior. Again, these are like the front runners. Gabriel is kind of, to me, the announcer, the one who brings messages. I work with Gabriel a lot if I'm looking to hear clearly about a situation or if I want to communicate something effectively. Raphael just means healing, and so the name literally just means God heals or the source heals. And it's that dynamic that's represented in the characteristic of Raphael as well. And Uriel is, what is Uriel? I can't remember what Uriel literally means. But
what do you see him
like
as?
Like light.
Okay.
I think it's light. Uriel stands for light or fire, bringing illumination, understanding. Uriel is kind of like a prophetic or psychic. Thinking about understanding things, Uriel brings light to situations and helps us gain greater clarity and understanding. So those are just kind of like, and there are other archangels. Those are, you had mentioned the four that are predominantly known. Pretty much, I think that those are the four that are known in like the Christian circles or from that particular religious tradition, and the other ones are more known from the Kabbalah and also from Islam. Islam talks a little bit about the archangels as well. So yeah, I mean, that's what, and then I want to mention again, you were talking about time and place. You know, when we invoke the presence of the archangels, what we're doing is we're invoking transcendent energy into our situation. We're also invoking omnipresent energy, meaning that it can be in many different places at one time. Omnipresent means it's always in all places. The thing with the angels is that they do not usurp our free will. And I think you had touched on this a little bit as well. They're not going to do things for us. They will assist us in our own spiritual journey. And that's kind of what they're there for, is to help us along. And again, these are the front runners when you're talking about, you know, like angels and guides. And, you know, these main four are kind of like the strong ones, the front runners that help us in our journey, our spiritual journey. Now, another thing I want to mention when it comes to angels is that there are, and I don't know the names of them, but there are actually Eastern representations of the archangels as well, and they usually are depicted as dragons. That's the one thing that the East, you know, usually spiritual intervention is depicted as dragon, mystical creatures like that, rather than the angelic. They are looked at a little bit different. Some of the Eastern tradition, they do have a type of angel, but when it comes to the archetypes of the archangels, from what I have studied mostly, is that they're represented by dragons. The archetypal, the similar archetypal understanding. I don't know if that makes sense or
yes,
not.
It does.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of my introduction with them. Like I said, I personally believe that they're extensions of Source and Source energy, and that they're here. So from my understanding is they do not have, like, individual personalities, like egos themselves, but they're an extension. And it's kind of like with all angels, they don't have the personal ego, but rather they are kind of like the helpers, spiritual helpers that help us along on our journey, that are sent directly from Source as we align our will with you know, higher will or higher vibrational energy.
Yes, I would agree. That's what I was saying, is like opposed to, let's say, my grandmother is passed, and although she can perhaps look out for me and she can be around me in spirit, she doesn't have the same, and it's you get into tricky, a little bit sticky, how to use the words to correctly convey the message, but it's as though they do have their ascension, if you will, or their closeness, I guess would be the best way to say it, and also it is my belief that they have been spiritual entities and have undergone, if you will, training, I think, you know, just to simplify it, for hundreds of thousands and possibly even millions of years. So they have not only the knowledge, but they also have more freedom. I agree they don't have a personal agenda. Their agenda and their intention is given to them. It's a pure divine. And they see humans as being, again, this is just my belief, but they see and feel and love humans as the highest source, which sounds contradictory to the divine, God, creator, source, whatever. But humans are what was created, is kind of where I believe. So as humans, they are very devoted, I think is maybe a good word, and so they're entrusted with their gifts. Now, I did want to say that you had brought up Uriel. Now, I always associate the four that we talked about with directional and kind of being in charge of guarding, although Michael is definitely, as you said, the main protector. But Uriel, I feel that he's associated with the earth. That's his element. And he, although you said he was prophetic and tended to help the spirituality, I'm not saying that I disagree with that, but he's also very much a problem solving. And for people that are in chaos, conflict, or confusion, Uriel is very good at sorting out confusion and helping to clear the mind and restore balance. The other ones that you mentioned, I agree that Gabriel, and I wanted to bring something up about Gabriel, because depending on what you read or what you ascribe to, there are those that believe that Gabriel is not a he, but a she, and then of course there's those that believe that there is no gender attached to any of them, even though in the English language, Michael is a strong male name. That could not really be taken as a female name. But I thought that was interesting. So I don't know if you've ever thought of Gabrielle as being possibly female. And the EL, I agree that that means in or with, aligned to Source, Creator, or God, whatever you, again, whatever you believe in. And so almost all of the archangels, and there's very many. These four are just the, you know, the top of the chain. They're not all inclusive whatsoever. But do you have, like, do you place any gender on the archangels, or do you see them without gender? Or I know the pictures, a lot of times if you look at the pictures, there's definitely male versus female characteristics.
Well, and I think that, you know, from my experience in working with the archangels, they certainly present qualities of masculine and feminine. Now, when I see, you know, it's interesting. I have, Gabriel is one that is more androgynous in nature, because it can be, you know, Gabriel can express himself for itself as masculine or feminine due to the nature. So if it's Gabriel assisting us in our own personal communication, it's usually a masculine trait in terms of how I see. And this is going to be different for everyone, I think, just because the angels do manifest differently to different people. The traits are usually the same, but in terms of if you're seeing them or sensing their presence, the feeling or sight that you get from the angels will be a little different for each person, just because they are spirit beings. They vibrate on a different frequency than the physical realm. But Gabriel, you know, when Gabriel comes to me to assist me in my own communication, it is oftentimes very feminine energy, where I see Gabriel as a feminine being. Whereas if Gabriel is bringing a message to me, if I'm asking for insight into a situation or clarity into a situation, Gabriel will come to me in more masculine form, bringing me information or allowing me to gain insight related to a situation. Now, the other archangel that I work with, Raphael, I mean, I work with more than just these four, but that I work with frequently, Raphael, always, ever since I have been working with Raphael, has always presented herself or itself to me as a feminine form. And that's probably due to the nature of what Raphael brings. And again, that's going to be, the angels will manifest themselves. If we are open to seeing the angels, they oftentimes will manifest themselves in a way that we will understand. So it's, like I said, it's not going to be the same for everyone, because the way that spirit communicates is, and the way that we receive spirit communication and see into the spirit is associated with our own spirit being as well. And so it communicates in a way that our spirits understand and can relate to. But to me, Raphael is more feminine than all of the other archangels that I work with, bringing healing and reconciliation. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
And then another thing that you had mentioned with Uriel, I do, you know, Uriel is, from what I gathered, and this is a lot of what I have channeled through the archangels as well, you know, Uriel, of course, can, you know, Uriel brings illumination. I don't know, I was going to look up the etymology of Uriel, but I'm pretty sure Uriel means the light bringer or the fire bringer, bringing illumination. So a lot of times that is associated with spiritual illumination. But when you mentioned that working out conflict, I agree wholeheartedly that Uriel can assist us in working out conflict, because Uriel brings things to the light. Even when we were talking about last week with the third eye really to be able to have a meaningful life experience, we have to be present with what's actually going on the planet. We have to be connected to the planet and have an understanding of that. And that, so it's kind of like with the third eye, Uriel brings illumination to our vision, spiritual, and it has a profound impact on the physical as well. So I totally agree that Uriel is one that can assist us in working out conflicts. Mainly because it gives us understanding, you know, Uriel gives us understanding.
Yes, and he also, well, I also see him as a ruler of the earth. He is also an assister or a helper to, like, natural disasters. Although he can't always interfere with the master plan, he can help to soothe things, I think is a good way of put it. So he's a balm. So, you know, like a soothing balm, or he can help to at least have his presence there during like a tornado or a tsunami or a volcano eruption. So he rules that. But I also believe that he rules creativity, ideas, a lot of stuff. Now, see, I always associate Michael with fire, with the South, as the guardian of the South, and the warrior with the flaming fire. So I don't know if that's necessarily, if we're just talking about two different types of things, just because that's how I see him. That doesn't necessarily mean that fire can be seen in many different ways. I see him more, like you said in the beginning, more as the protector, as the fighter. Not where you're saying that Uriel is more, fire is more the light, so he's illuminating. And I believe that he can illuminate our path, our ideas. He can help us in creativity, in business, in finding our true purpose and paths, our paths, you know, and that. So in that respect, I would agree with you that, yes, if you want to call that fire, I would agree with that. That, and the one that I work with the most, that I just find that I feel most connected to, is Michael. And it's interesting that that you said Raphael appears to you more feminine, and I agree with you that it's very subjective. It's like our guides. For those of us that have learned to be in touch with our guides, many of us say, well, my guide's name is this or this or this, and we see a feminine or sometimes we see even, you know, a style of dress or a type of person, a persona or an archetype, if you want to put it that way. And I think sometimes that's for our benefit as opposed to that being the overall. So for you, Raphael may come in a feminine form, but like you pointed out, to someone else, it may be a very masculine form. So I do feel that they come to us when we call upon them in the way that is easiest for us to accept, to be unafraid and to accept their help. And so whatever that might be, so that in that respect, I believe that any of them can appear more feminine or more masculine depending on our needs and what we are more open to and what we are more easily able to embrace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And from my understanding of spirit in doing this work for, I mean, when I view spirit, I don't consider spirit as masculine or feminine, although spirit does have, just like our own personal spirit, our spirit will have masculine or feminine qualities depending on if we're male or female. But our spirit itself doesn't have and a gender, because spirit itself, I mean, gender is associated with duality. Now, I think we may differ in terms of how we view this particular subject, but, you know, spirit itself, the capital S spirit, the thing that unites all things together, from what, you know, what I've channeled and from what I have gathered from my guides is that doesn't have a gender. And so when it comes to these higher vibrational beings, such as archangels, who are very close to the original source when they're working with us, they are, you know, I don't want to say androgynous because that makes it, you know, they're not androgynous. They can embody both masculine and feminine characteristics, based off of what they are providing in our particular situation. Whereas, and so for, just as an example, Michael has always been masculine. I have never experienced Michael in a feminine form, not because, you know, Michael can't, you know, doesn't embody both masculine and feminine in terms of him being a spirit being. It's more because the quality that he brings is protection and safety, and is kind of like a warrior aspect, which is oftentimes more associated with masculine traits rather than feminine traits. So yeah, that's kind of, and again, spirit, from you know, my understanding of spirit doesn't have a gender. Gender is associated with the duality that we experience in physical form, and spirit is non-physical vibrational form, which doesn't experience duality like we do.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. So how would you go about, like, for people, for clients, or for those that have the desire or the wish to call upon the archangels, how do you go about, what are your recommendations in reaching them? And do you, if you have a client, are you prone to mention a specific one depending on what their particular need is? Or do you just kind of say, you know, whichever one seems to resonate with you? Or how do you go about something like that, James? I mean, how do you deal with it?
Yeah, of course it's going to be different for every individual and how I approach the subject. There are some people who are very open to spiritual things and some people who are a little more closed off. When I'm working with somebody who's a little bit more closed off, the one thing that I will recommend to them is finding some sort of physical ritual or sacrament that they can do to kind of align themselves. So a lot of people, it's lighting a candle, lighting incense, quieting themselves down, and then doing some sort of invocation for the archangel that will work best in their situation. So if somebody is dealing with a really difficult relational situation where, let's say it's a broken relationship, but there's still very heavy emotional ties, my recommendation with that client is oftentimes, you know, call on the Archangel Michael. And if they're already very spiritually, I don't want to say, because we're all spirit beings, but some people, you know, are more active in their own spiritual development than others. If they're already very active, you know, I would recommend, you know, making an invocation, maybe lighting a candle, and then looking for, and the thing that I really, you know, try to work with my clients and help them understand is spirit speaks in a much different way than we are communicating. So spirit's not going to have a conversation like we're having a conversation now. So what I recommend to my clients is look for feelings within you that are shifting associated with the situation as you're quieting yourself down. And then sometimes you'll get images, pictures of, you know, images in what seems like your imagination, except for they're images that you are not familiar with, associated with archangels. That happens frequently. Sometimes people will see colors. One of the things that my clients tell me a lot is that the color blue is often associated with Michael. My experience, because I work with Raphael more than any of the other archangels due to my work in Reiki, I recognize Raphael with the color green. But colors are one way that, if you get a flash of color, that's one way that the angelic realm may be communicating with you. Another thing, too, is these are beings that when you invoke their presence or you ask for their presence to be with you, that they will begin to communicate with you, but you have to kind of open yourself up to it. So if you begin working with the Archangel Michael, for instance, pay attention to thoughts that, and I don't know how to word this other than pay attention to thoughts that you may not normally think. So, you know, turn down this road on your way to work and go this way as opposed to going this way. Those types of things are often very associated with the way that spirit speaks to us. So pay attention to thoughts that may not make sense at first and start following. I mean, that's really what intuition is it's starting to follow that inner flow. The one thing that I have always told people, and this is a scripture from the Bible that's been very, very influential on me in my own work, there's a scripture that says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. And what that means is that's really a way that you can personally engage with these higher vibrational frequencies and know that they're communicating with you. Their voice often comes through as feelings, colors, pictures, rather than whereas, you know, you and I would have a conversation, their communication would be less of a conversation and more associated with maybe right hemisphere types of right brain types of experiences. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. That makes a lot of sense.
Another thing, too, that I always, if people are really interested, I've had some clients that were very interested in working with angels, but they really want to experience angels. I really don't recommend people starting out with archangels. Not because they're not available. If you call on the archangels or the ministry of angels, they will be readily available to you for that moment. But if you are looking to develop your engagement with the angels, my recommendation is always to start with your personal guardian angel. And the reason for that is that your guardian angel, that's the one angelic being that doesn't need your permission to keep you safe. There was an agreement made when you incarnated on this planet with that guardian angel, and that guardian angel has been with you since you took your first breath. And so a lot of times from what I've experienced in working with clients is that if you start with your guardian angel, oftentimes that's a more, because there's already a sense of closeness with your guardian angel, that's almost like a gateway to spirit for many people, simply because there is that sense of closeness. And a lot of times when people start with the guardian angel and then move to other angelic frequencies like the ministry of angels or the archangels, what they end up experiencing is that, you know, because of that closeness, they will recognize trends throughout their life where they've had angelic encounters and didn't realize that that's actually what was taking place. So if you're really interested in working with the archangels, I recommend you call on the archangels, invoke the archangels, ask for their presence to be there. But if you're looking at the experiential dynamic, I really strongly recommend starting with your archangel or your guardian angel. And one of the things that you can do, the best time to really start doing this is when you first start going, when you're going to sleep, if you don't have a meditation practice. Actually, a meditation practice, if you have one developed, from what I have experienced with my clients, that's always the best time. But if you are on your way to bed and you don't have a meditation practice, but you want to start engaging with spirit, right before you go to sleep, just start asking your guardian angel, where are you right now in the room? And pay attention to feelings that you have, pay attention to colors that you may see, pay attention to a feeling of a presence in the room, and kind of press into those feelings, because that is a really good way, because that's a familiar, being your guardian angel, that's a very familiar energy to you. That's a really good way as kind of like a gateway into experiencing the ministry of angels and the archangels as well.
Okay, yeah, that's good advice. That's a good way, I think, to start. And for myself, I usually, I agree with you that I recommend to clients that they find some way of making some type of commitment or dedication. So whether that's prayer or that's lighting a candle or that's quiet time or that's meditating, whatever it is, it's just showing that you're making a conscientious effort and a commitment and a dedication to that time. And during that time, you would call upon, I believe that you should do some research, or if you've always been, you know, you've always felt pulled towards one angel or another. And as we mentioned, we're talking about four, but there's quite a number of them, and any of them are able to to help in many various different ways. But I do think they do have, although any of the archangels can assist us, I do feel that they each have their own little specialty. So depending on what we personally are seeking, that we should gravitate towards probably that one. And then I think what you said was really good about pay attention to thoughts that normally wouldn't come or actions. If you're a shy person and you have been, let's say that you've been focusing some time every day before going to sleep is a great time because we open up our subconscious. We do that anyways. That's part of dreaming, but we especially so if we make that an intention that we're given assistance, knowledge, creativity, protection, whatever it is that we're seeking, opening up our spirituality before sleep. So any of those things, if we start with those things, and then, so like if you're a shy person and all of a sudden you find yourself more at ease around people and you find yourself smiling and making eye contact, that's pay attention, because I feel that the archangels, when they do intervene and they do assist us, it is in a subtle way. It's like what James said. We're not going to hear shouting. I love them too much. I watch them. I'm addicted to so many of them, of these, these shows. Like, oh, my favorite one was that one years ago. Paranormal Activity. And so we all have these. And then, that was a little bit different, but in other words, what I'm getting at is, you know, you're probably not going to hear a choir of angels singing or harp strumming, or the chandelier isn't going to start swinging. I mean, that's just not realistic. It's very subtle. And the reason I feel it's that way is because we can't just be complacent. We can't just say, well, you know, life's been kind of crappy lately, so I'm going to, pray to, or I'm going to send intentions or manifest assistance from Michael or Gabrielle or Raphael or Uriel or whomever. That is why I believe in part it's subtle, because we're needing to pay attention and we're needing to recognize. And I don't necessarily believe that we have to be in touch. I believe we should be in touch with our own guides or spiritual helpers, whatever, regardless of what we're doing. But I don't think that's necessarily, we have to go through any kind of a ritual in order to reach out to an archangel. But we do have to have a strong intention, and we do have to take action and be ready to do our part of the work. And our part of the work is sometimes just silence, noticing, taking note of something that's different. Like you mentioned, taking a road that you normally wouldn't take. There's very little signs. And I think some of the biggest mistakes that people make, clients as well as those that are starting their walk into the spiritual light, meaning that they're starting into the profession, and one of the biggest mistakes they make is they expect it to be like a loud slamming door, and instead it's the tiny little creak. And so it's the little things that we watch for. And then I believe that the other side to it is it comes down to what we choose to believe. If we choose to believe that something that occurred, whether it's external or internal or a feeling or whatever, if we choose to believe that that was given or with a gift or a blessing or something shared with us from an archangel or our personal angels, whatever, if we choose to believe that, then it is so. So what we believe is actually what the reality of it is. It's really that simple. It's what we believe. And I know that Natalie mentioned in the beginning of the show that she had some questions, so I thought I would check with her before the hour ends to see if she had some questions at this point that she wanted to ask or something that she wanted to share.
Well, you know, you talked about invocation, so all you have to do is basically talk to them, like James said, before you fall asleep. But both of you know that I had a visitation back in the 80s of a golden yellow. Now, do you think that was an archangel? It was I think you both recall, it was a crystal that was raw in shape. It wasn't, you know, smoothed out. And that's where the glow was coming from, but it was about 7 feet high in my back wall. It lit up my whole room and the bathroom next to it, and nobody saw it, of course, but me. Well, I was wakened up to see it, and then I was put back to sleep. Do you think that was an angel?
Don't everybody
what
talk
do you think?
At once, okay?
I'm waiting.
Okay,
I'm like,
okay. Raise your hand.
This is what came to me.
Are you in awe
now,
of what I just said? You must be in awe of what I just said.
I'm just going to share with you what just automatically came to me when you said that before I had a chance to really think about it, which I started to do, is I was shown Uriel. And I was shown him in golden lights. And I believe that he rules the earth. And that he also helps with problem solving, creativity, psychic abilities, opening up our channels. And so I don't know what, I know that you've told me that story, but I truthfully don't know what the transition was in your life. So you could possibly tell me if that would make sense, that it would be. That's what, I guess I would say, that's what my guide, the information that they passed to me, that what you saw, the vision that you got, which I just want everyone to know, that's a very rare occurrence. It's not, don't expect that that's going to happen. If it does, you know, hey, that's wonderful and amazing, and I'm not saying that it's impossible, but it's not that common to have that profound of a visual. What you had was a very profound experience,
yeah.
And I know you feel very grateful and blessed, but
right.
I believe that was Uriel helping you to balance out your creativity with your psychic ability, and I feel that you may have been in a transitional state of going either on your own or something like that. So I'm not sure if that fits or not, but that's
well,
that's the
at the time, yeah. At the time, I was working for this large group of psychics. I think I've told the story before. And one in particular I was working with, but, you know, I was ill at the time also. I mean, I was seriously ill. So the girl that I was, the woman that I was working for, she said, oh, well, that was healing. And I remember saying to her, well, yeah, that's all and good, but I didn't need to see it. I sat up in my bed and looked up and looked around and then finally looked behind me, and that's where it was coming from. I said, I could have been healed while I was asleep, but with knowing me, I like to see. So that could have been also, I don't know. I mean, of course, I healed. I was fine. But I think maybe it was an enlightenment for me, perhaps, so that I could realize, because, you know, I was kind of really, say this, envious of all these readers. I mean, there was hundreds that I interviewed. And I would always think to myself, gee, I wish I could do that. But little did I know, I wouldn't have to be doing that. Maybe it was a prerequisite for way down the road with, like, my sights that I have. I don't know, but it certainly had an impression on me, and I will never, ever forget it. I've never seen it again, but the color was beautiful. It really was. And I don't know what you think about that, James, but was that an angelic appearance, or?
I agree. I get the sense that it was angelic. And I also feel as though, I mean, you had mentioned healing, but what I was getting, and I think that this is kind of what she was saying as well, is were you in a really transitional phase in your life? Because that's really what I was getting as well, and I know that that's what Maya was saying. Was there some transitions going on in your experience
just
at the time?
Just that I was super, super ill. I mean, I could have died.
Oh, okay.
I worked for this one girl. The group disbanded. I mean, it was over, but I ended up working for her. She was a really good psychic. And she would always tell me, she says, I see a computer with all kinds of money falling on it. I mean, this was a long time ago. And
yeah.
I said, really? She said, oh, yes, you're going to use that computer for something major. Well, of course I do. But I don't know if it, maybe it was a transition of my life source, me, because it was kind of, it was kind of a rough time for me. And at the same time, I got bit by my dog on my face. So I had a double whammy going on. So maybe they thought, well, we better do something really major for this woman. I don't know. She's got to see it. But I saw it, and I wrote the date down, and I drew the shape so I would never forget. And it's sitting in this little container that I have on my dresser, and I treasure it. I was very, very blessed to see that. I've had other experiences where my son and I think I told both of you that our car was actually pulled out of an accident, away from an accident, and my son didn't know it, but my son said, Mom, did you feel that? And I said, no. He said, our car moved out of the way. I could not have done this. And of course, as soon as he said it, I knew right away what it was. And so I don't know. That was something very special. And like Maya said, I don't think everybody gets to see what I got to see. But I don't know about a transitional period. What do you think that would have been? I don't know.
Well, it could have been the healing that transpired. I mean, that made a lot of sense to me as well when she was talking about that. Another thing, and it's on topic but off topic. I personally have had that I can think of right now three encounters, not like yours exactly, but physical encounters that were in the physical realm associated with angels. So that does happen. What I want to say, what I would want to say to our listeners about that, though, is that does not necessarily mean that it is a more important experience.
Right, right. Glad you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, like, I look to the angels and I look to, my source God. I am in constant contact or to the best of my ability in constant contact with those frequencies. And so when something like that occurs, I mean, it is really what I say is really super cool. You know, it was super cool.
You're right. It really, really was. I mean, but the funny thing of it is I wanted to stay awake, but it was like, you know, she saw it. She realizes that it's real. Now let's put her back to sleep. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even think about it. Put my head down, went back to sleep. Okay, I
now,
saw
at the time
it. Cool.
At the time, were you already engaging with angels and spirit? I mean, obviously, we're doing psychic work.
No.
But no. Okay.
No. My only encounter was this. Go ahead.
That might have been an awakening to that then, a little bit, to a little bit more for you, an awakening to that. Now, another thing I want to say to listeners is that you don't have to wait for an awakening to start going in that direction. You can start going in that direction and get it. But that may be the transitional part that we were picking up on as well.
Yeah, to push me over into another area because, well, look what I said. I didn't think I could do anything. I mean, I just admired all these people that seemed to have all these gifts, and maybe that's what it was, because after that I didn't really work for her that long. Of course, I was pretty ill. But I really... And I haven't forgotten it, and there have been some little things that have happened, but that was super wonderful, just a really
that
really
was your that was your big one. Well, since I know everything, and everybody knows that, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back and say, I actually have been my guides start rumbling when they want to be heard, and so I'm going to speak for them. And what they're saying is that although you are bringing up that you were very ill, and I acknowledge that, and there may have been some healing going on, they're adamantly telling me that the vision you received was not really associated with the healing. Even though you were being healed by other sources at that time, you were helped. They're actually telling me that in part, of course, I believe that all sicknesses, and myself included, and all illnesses have some type of spiritual connection to them. There's just a connection. But they're saying that was Uriel, and I'd be curious because sometimes I have to look back at their pictures, and of course they're depicted in many different ways in many different theologies and religions and so on and so forth. But I just cannot shake it that it was Uriel, which in a way kind of surprises me, because if someone said pick somebody that's going to come to Natalie, I don't think he would have been my first choice. In fact, there are some stories that some, like the Catholic Church and some other non-religious factors, or factions, I should say, actually more or less demoted Uriel, and some do not even recognize him as an angel. They recognize him as a human that was elevated to a little bit higher status, but not really, not an archangel. So I just wanted to add that real quick, that that's interesting. And it definitely, whatever it ended up to mean or was, I mean, it was, like you said, it'll be something that'll stay with you forever. You'll never forget.
It was a catalyst for something for me. Being in awe of everybody, and it was almost like saying, well, we're going to show you something to be in awe of. But it was just beautiful. It really, really was.
Saying that, and I'm thinking maybe because you were so ill, and it may be because you felt, and I'm presuming to tell you how you felt because you didn't say that. I mean, I know you've shared that story, and you've shared different stories, but you haven't put the whole thing together, so it's not like I'm just repeating back to you something you've told me. But maybe you were so, because you were so ill, and I do relate to what that can be like. We can be so ill that we're not able to see beyond, just like we can be so caught up in difficulty, challenges, whatever it is, money, relationships, illness. Maybe you were so caught up in that you were not able to see what could be once you were better,
right?
Because there may have been a time during that illness. I know the illness you're talking about because I know that you have shared that with me. And I know that can be, sometimes it can be incurable. So perhaps it was a time when you were feeling that it was not ever going to be any better, and you needed something profound. And I do feel that we are given that when we really need it. And again, this is such a key factor. It doesn't matter what word you use, God, creator, source, divine, light, but you have to believe in order for anything to ever occur.
Oh, yes, and you both know I believe in everything that you can't see, you can't hear. I mean, I'm just very devoted, and Maya, you and I have talked extensively, and I think, it served its purpose, or it's serving its purpose, I should say, because it's something that I will never forget, and I think it's carried me through to where I am today, really. I mean, I don't think about it every day, but I think it's helped me to use everything that to my ability to create something make it be bright and the light. And so I just think it was like hitting me on the head, like, okay, let's really give her something now. she doesn't get anything. She thinks she can't do anything. Oh, okay, well, we're going to show her. But yes, I was very, very blessed. And like you said, not everybody gets that grandeur kind of thing. But I wanted to ask how you can reach your archangels. And James said for your guardian angel, you do that at night. Well, what about the archangels? I know that all you need to do is call upon them. But what are you, how do you express something like, say, for business, for stars, You know, I always would like to have the very best for everybody that's on there and lots of traffic. And so what I always ask for is, okay, open some doors, throw me some doors, and I'll walk through every one of them because I do. I peek at every single door that comes my way because I feel that it's my job. So I think maybe it gave me some knowledge that I didn't have to go to school for. Maybe mm-hmm. that was part of it too. Yeah, so it was good. It's an awesome thing, really. And I love bringing it up because it makes me feel really good. I like to share it with everybody to know that you can have experiences like that and that you don't even expect. So how do you call upon an archangel? Would you have to have a special invocation, or to either one of you can answer? Well, I extended the time so we can go a little bit over. Is there a particular one that you ask for, or do you just do a general, like, whoever wants to help me on this?
I will jump in. sometimes written prayers can be useful, but I do not personally believe that you have to have a written prayer. Another thing that we had mentioned, Maya touched on this, that you don't necessarily have to have a ritual. The one thing that ritual does when it comes to lighting a candle or lighting some incense, settling down, is that if you live, you know, I know we have probably a lot of listeners that live in, I want to say this gently, in constant chaos, where, you know, like they go to work and they work very, very hard all day long.
Under a lot
and
of stress.
There's a
yes,
lot of
yes.
a lot of communication. Then they come home and they flip on the TV, and then there's a lot of there's a lot of activity always going on in their life experience. The one thing that ritual or sacrament does for us is it makes a sacred space for us to allow us to experience different energy or a higher frequency. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So that's one thing that I always recommend, especially, you know, if I'm working with CEOs of companies and such, I always recommend make sure that you're doing some sort of ritual, not necessarily because the ritual has intrinsic power. The ritual will have the power that you give it. But being able to segment a sacred space for you to dwell in so that you can have that invocation, you can have that interaction, that's always useful. An invocation can be as simple as, you know, I ask for the presence of, and I'm going to give you what I use for Gabriel before I do every show, the radio show, but, you know, I ask for the presence of Gabriel to come into this situation so that I will be able to effectively communicate what needs to be communicated for the highest good of all people involved. So that's an example. That's not a written. That's just something that, you know, I just mm-hmm. kind of throw out there. And it's not always the same. Sometimes it's a bit different. But that is an example of something that you can do in terms of, you know, invocation. Now, if you're asking for which archangel works best for business, I would say Ariel is really good for business. Haniel is good for business because Haniel, you know, awakens a little bit of creativity. Both are good for abundance as well, or you know, those are the two that really come to mind for me in terms of my own, you know, business practice. Those are two that I work with frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's kind of the same. I believe that Ariel is specifically for prosperity, so maybe less of. Well, I mean, prosperity will come if when clients come in, prosperity is built. So that would be a good archangel.
That would be a good archangel to work with.
And you can, and I would recommend if you're really looking to have a specific invocation, just write it down and make sure that, you know, one of the things that is good to include is that it benefits all people who are involved, that it brings them to their highest understanding that it lifts, you know, it doesn't just lift you up. Because the one thing that the archangels do in our situation is not only do they help lift us up, but they can also help lift those who we are in relationship with and in contact with. So you know, but I would write out something if you're not used to invoking the presence of these angels. I would specifically mm-hmm. write something out so that you have something to say, and use your own words. You know, I mean, use something that is something that you can, that's, you know, is the language that you would use associated
right.
with the situation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense. That's what I wanted the listeners to know is, you know, and you don't have to, you just present your question or what your concern is, and the right angel will come forward. Yeah, you don't have to know a name or, you know what I'm saying?
Now, that's why I recommended Ariel specifically, because that, to me, I think that Ariel, well, let me, you know what, give me just a second. Let me Google this, because I know it's been, you know, I just, Ariel's who I work with, but I just want to make sure that I am giving you the right information to. Just a second here.
Go ahead and Google that. I wanted to read something to you, Natalie. I looked up,
okay.
Of course, everything on the internet is true. No, but this is a place that I use frequently, but I had never really looked. And it says the colors traditionally associated, this is Uriel, to this archangel are purple and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that the colors you told me you saw?
Well, it was a golden color, yes. It was, I've seen the color before, but it was just, like I said, it was the shape of a raw crystal, about 7 feet high, and that's where the glow, that's where this color was coming from. All it was just bringing everything into this room and just lit the whole thing up. It wasn't a fire gold or a yellow.
No,
it was, it was golden. It was golden, yeah.
This is more of a true, like a gold, and it also says that if you want to say she or it, is associated with peace, wisdom, light, understanding, and change. It helps us to let go of the past, bringing inner peace, transformation, and harmony. Now, what I was going to say while he was Googling is that I really believe that we can call upon any or all, but I personally believe that if we call upon one specifically, the results just seem to be better. And so that just takes a little bit of knowledge of knowing if you need protection, whether it's protection for your health, for your family, for travelers, Michael, if you need help in receiving messages or understanding messages that you're getting, would be Gabrielle, problem solving, harmony, spiritual enlightenment, that's Uriel, and Raphael, anything to do with healing, whether it's healing from spiritual pain, emotional pain, or physical pain or illness, any of those. And I don't think that your words are that important. They're not as important as your intention. So all you need to do is like what James had said he says before the show, you know, all I might do is I might say, I now ask of Michael, protector of the South, my protector, that of the divine and the light and all that is good and true, that please protect me and my family as we go through these challenging times. We know that you are with us and we ask that you stay close with us. So just something like that, in your own words, I just kind of feel a little partial to calling upon one specifically as opposed to all. Not that they won't all come marching in, but I just think sometimes it can get lost in translation. It would be kind of like, to me, going out in a crowd. Let's say that you're at Disney World and you start hollering. I don't know if any of you have seen What About Bob, where he gets off the bus and says, Dr. Leo Marvin. But, you know, if you went out in a crowd and called out five names and there's 10,000 people there, you're going to have a bunch of people respond. But if you call out one name that's not a common name, there's only going to be one. So my feeling is it's a little bit better to get to know what your needs are, and then there's a lot of resources out there. And if you're unsure and you've checked the resources and you still aren't sure what direction to go, how to call upon the assistance of an archangel, you can always go to STARS. There's many experts, and almost all of them can help you to help you find a way of getting in touch with an archangel or more than one to help assist you with whatever your needs are at the moment. And our needs do change, so we may call on Michael
right.
for one thing, and we may call on Gabrielle for something else. So,
why do you think it was in the shape of a crystal? Just because it had to have some kind of form to project the color?
Well, crystals, I mean, you know that, I mean, I live in like the main area of crystals, one of the biggest areas of natural crystals in the U.S. And so crystals are, they're living, but they're known for their ability to balance and let the flow of energy go in and out. And it sounds to me like you were blocked in many ways, not just with illness, but maybe with the situation. So I think the crystal just represented, that's maybe too why my guides say Uriel, because he rules all that is of the earth, and crystals are
right.
living things of the earth. So I think
that
the crystal, yeah, that's what I would, you know, that's what I'm getting about it, is that it was a crystal because it wasn't important for you to see a person because it wasn't about
no.
a person. It was about the earth and healing and the flow and the natural and the stone. And so that's kind of what I see. I mean, and was it like a cathedral stone, or do you know what that is?
I have some here, but none, of course, that color. It was just huge. I mean, it was really huge. But it made sense because I knew exactly why my room was lit up with this color, because that's where all, it even went into my bathroom, you know, and I kept thinking, gee whiz, is a light on somewhere? And, but then it seemed like as soon as I had an understanding that it was real, I was put back to sleep. That's what I think happened for me. I really wish I could have stayed up and had a little chat, but I couldn't stay up. It was not the purpose of it for me. It was not, you know, so maybe I was in kind of like one of those levels that you get into, but I don't know. I just woke up and I kept blinking my eyes and covering my eyes, you know, thinking, boy, this is some dream that I'm having, but it wasn't a dream. It was real.
Right. Well, I'm glad you had the experience. And
yeah.
I know that
yeah.
we are getting ready to close. So that's
yeah.
about all I really have to say. I mean, it's really very easy. It just takes your intention and, again, your belief that it's possible and that these divine beings exist and they're here. I believe that they love mankind and humanity above all other things and that they are here to serve us and that while they can't, impose upon another person's free will and they can't change our destiny, they can guide and help us and they can do quite a bit, surprisingly a lot, and help us to do a lot for ourselves, things that we didn't think we were capable or able to do. They give us
right.
that extra oomph to be able to do it. So I hope
right.
that everyone at least tries to invoke the wisdom, the power, the healing, and the harmony, and the beauty of the archangels and all the angels. And there's so many, so don't get stuck on just these four because there's many of them, and they all have wonderful attributes and qualities.
And James, what are you doing? Are you Googling something?
No, I had found it. I was just listening.
Oh.
Ariel is the archangel that brings prosperity. So
okay.
for me, that's the archangel. I mean, that archangel does a lot, but, you know, if you look at pictures, Ariel is holding cornucopia overflowing with gold. I mean, that's definitely
right,
a
right.
good iconology of prosperity. And there was another thing that, you know, you had asked, do I just call out, hey, archangel, come to me and bring me prosperity? And I'm sure that will work because it's associated with your intention. But when you can align, I mean, one of the things that understanding the archangels does help individuals do is that when you can – you know, these are names that have been, you know, spoken. They've been invoked many times. And so when you're aligning your intention in using the specific name like Ariel or Haniel or Zadkiel, or you know, if you're aligning your energy with that particular name, what happens is there is a lineage that has been built up in not just one, I mean, in many different religions that talk about these same angels. There's a lineage that you're tapping into, and there is a specific vibrational kind of energy that goes along with that. So I do recommend asking or invoking by name specifically, because that helps in bringing about that particular vibration that you're looking for. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, and as far as the show, I love you guys. Thank you so much. I'm, you know, this has been a lot of fun talking about the archangels. It's one of my favorite subjects. So, and I apologize for being a little late. I just had some issues calling in, but it was a really fun show. Thank you.
Yeah, it really was. I love talking about our own things that happened to us, because I think listeners, you know, of course, if they're not advisors and they don't deal with this, they like to hear, you know, the stuff that goes on for regular people and how they deal with things and what's happened to them. So, yes, it was an awesome show. Maya, you have anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. All my love to everyone, and I hope everyone gets their archangel groove on.
Yeah, yeah, they're groove on, right? Well, thank you, guys. I love you. And I don't know if we're taking a break starting next week or not, but we were talking about taking a break for the summertime a little bit, maybe not doing it every week. So, but all you have to do is keep watching. Candy always posts everything. She just goes all over, and I keep getting ding, ding, ding on my phone, and I know it's Candy. Candy's ringing the bell, so just keep watch for that, and I'm sure we'll have more subjects and, I mean, different topics, and maybe other kinds of good things will come up. And so with that, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Thank you. Thanks, Stars Fame, Madeline, for coming in tonight, and the guests. We had guests. That's just wonderful. I love to see people in there and people calling and all that kind of good stuff. So with that, I will say goodnight. I love you guys very, very much. Bye-bye.